You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
How long does it take to come down from a high? Arkansas's fan base has been on a high for about a week since this Texas win last Saturday night. They can stay up there, but for the football team, they've got to come back down to earth because they've got a game against Georgia Southern at 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Kind of an intriguing game given the fact that this is sandwiched between two, you know, big games for the Razorbacks and Georgia Southern struggling. The triple option component always makes these games very interesting. Matt Jones with Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Clay, this, I think we've talked about this before, but this has all the makings of a trap game for Arkansas. And I think it's really going to tell a lot about Sam Pittman and his coaching staff, how well they have their players' focus and attention, you know, in that first quarter, second quarter. I think it'll tell us a lot about this coaching staff on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we don't have any history to go with on this as far as Arkansas, because even though they played 10 games last year, they were all SEC games. And you have the season opener against Rice, and they, you know, they laid an egg in the first half of that game, played pretty good in the second half, or at least the last quarter and a half. And then they, you know, they were terrific against Texas, but it's like you saw the passion that they played with against Texas and the way they swarmed. All right, do you still have it? You know, their mantra is we're a blue collar team. We work hard in practice and we take it to the game. Well, the proof is in the pudding, right? We'll see.
Yeah, you know, I think as far as that is concerned, I mean, there are, you know, games last year that Arkansas did win. And you can, you know, there's not great history. Like, we don't know how Sam Pittman's team is going to respond after a big win, like Clay said. But you go back to the Mississippi State game. I mean, that's an SEC streak buster right there. You lost 20 straight or 19 or 20 straight games. And then the following week, you got to travel to Auburn, which is a, you know, a really good opponent and probably should have won that game. So I think there's not a lot of history, not a, you know, big track record to go off of, but, you know, I do think that Auburn game last year kind of gives you an idea that Sam Pittman can get his team's attention and kind of come down off of that high, refocus, and then go into a game, you know, with a really good mindset.
Clay, I thought it was interesting to listen to Sam Pittman on his radio show this week talk about, you know, remaining a top 25 team and the fact that he had shown his team a lot of clips of teams that had won a big game, gotten ranked, and then they lost the following week. He said that, I think they got my subliminal pretty good. You know, seems like he's aware of kind of what's facing his team this week, just in terms of, you know, the potential for a letdown.
Yeah, I got tickled. The mindset that they had was, you know, we got to go back to work. And then Tuesday, he said, I guess the next time we had heard from him was at the SEC teleconferences. So he's talking about Tuesday's practice. Well, Tuesday, he didn't like it. And I kind of had a feeling that no matter how that practice went, that he wasn't going to like it, that he was going to say, that's not it. That's not what we are. We got to do better than that. And then try to, and I mean, there probably wasn't a way for them to have a great Tuesday practice. And, the one thing that I'll say that I give him credit for is that he got his team's attention in August by taking about 4 days and looking at some Georgia Southern offense formations, option plays. And, you know, they're not a true wishbone team, but they do some unique things out of the pistol and shotgun that nobody else is going to do in their blocking techniques. You know, they're going to cut block you. They're not going to, they're going to do some things that are zone with the option that are unique. And so at least he preached, this is going to be a hard opponent because of the way they play. And maybe that did a little bit to get their attention, but yeah, he's you have to win to stay as a ranked team. And I think that's probably the mission this week, is do enough to impress people around the country and not get in one of these 28-27 games that this team has played, you know, against Power Five opponents.
Yeah, Georgia Southern, they've come close to winning some games since they've gone to the FBS. Their last year as an FCS team was 2013. They beat Florida in the Swamp, and that pretty much sealed the deal for Will Muschamp's tenure at Florida. Then they went to the FBS the next year, and they've come really close to beating some teams. They had Georgia Tech on the ropes in 2014. That was the Georgia Tech team that won the Orange Bowl against Dak Prescott and Mississippi State. In 2015, Mark Richt's last team, they came real close to beating them down in Athens. Maybe their best opportunity to win was 2 years ago when they went to Minneapolis. They played Minnesota, and Minnesota had to score a touchdown with 13 seconds left to beat them. That was the Minnesota team under PJ Fleck that ended up winning 11 games and beating Auburn in the Outback Bowl. So this is a team that has been there. They've been very close. Now, they've had some blowout losses too to, you know, big teams, but you know, they're waiting for that breakthrough against a big time team, and they've come off close. Now, I don't know if this is the team for them to do that, Scotty. They've not looked very good this year. They're 1-1. Had to hold off Gardner Webb, an FCS team, in the opening game, and then they just didn't look good at all last week against FAU, losing 38-6. Going back to what Clay said a minute ago, the triple option, this is a deal that's hard to prepare for.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And you know, I was, you know, looking up a little bit on Georgia Southern and just seeing them struggle the way that they did in week one against Gardner Webb. You know, it was a pretty good indication for me that this is not your, you know, typical Georgia Southern team. And the same thing, you know, last week, losing by 30 plus to FAU. You know, FAU's, you know, probably got more talent, I would say, than a Georgia Southern team would. But, you know, a 30-point loss is just that's telling me that this is, you know, not Georgia Southern of the past that we've seen, and, you know, has given teams a, you know, all that they've wanted and more, giving them a run for their money, literally in some cases, I guess. But, you know, they're missing a couple pieces, and I think there's a possibility that they get a couple back this week. Like one of the quarterbacks, you know, I think he could probably make a difference with that offense. But at the same time, he hasn't played since last year. And so you're wondering if he's, you know, he's probably not going to be as clean and crisp. And then I think they're getting a running back or a receiver back, but he's coming off an ACL injury. And as we've seen with Davion Warren, you know, he's looked fine through the first couple of weeks, but, you know, I don't think he's looked, you know, the same as he did last year, you know, when he kind of had that breakout year. I just don't think this is the week that Georgia Southern is going to get, you know, everything figured out. And I think Arkansas, it really helped that, you know, we didn't know it during the preseason, but Arkansas was scheming for Georgia Southern back then. And, you know, several periods and 3 or 4 days of practice were dedicated to your week three opponent. I don't think that can do anything but help. And I think the defense is going to come out hungry. They've got all three of their linebackers, you know, ready and available. And hopefully, you know, for the sake of those guys, they can stay in the game longer than, you know, a half or a quarter or maybe a series and a half. And, you know, they can kind of limit, shut down that offense and, you know, move on to A&M.
One of the most important players during the course of a preparation week is the backup quarterback, just because of, you know, what could potentially happen to a starter. But Clay, it's been even more so this week with Malik Hornsby emulating that option offense as a scout teamer.
Yeah, I think that what Sam said is they know that the quarterback that Georgia Southern is going to get back has got some speed, but they don't think he can match the speed of Hornsby, who's probably the fastest player on the team. I don't know if anybody's had any foot races, but you know, you got him and AJ Green that if you line up, it's they're both like 10-3, 10-4, 100 meter guys. And so they've at least have something in practice that shows the speed of an option quarterback. And hey, he might get his chances in the game to run some of those plays. They liked him. Quarterback keepers with Malik Hornsby is pretty sweet play.
Clay, they're a top 25 team right now. They're number 20 in the AP poll. They're number 24 in the coaches poll. Do you think they can stay in maybe not can they stay, do you think they're legitimately a top 25 team right now, or have they just had a top 25 win against Texas?
Well, the key is, you know, they just got to win this week, and then they've got to compete the next 3 weeks when they play Texas A&M in Arlington, at Athens to play Georgia, and then Ole Miss on the road at Oxford. Those games will tell the tale. And if they can win one of those games or possibly two, they'll move up. They lose all three, it's just hard to stay ranked, even though that, you know, if they compete well in their close games, losing takes you down a notch. And now I don't think losing to Georgia would be a crime that would get them out of the poll. We'll just see how they handle things this week. They could move up a little bit, and then if they compete with A&M, I think they can beat A&M. I don't know if they will, but if you win in the SEC and you have the victory over Texas, I'm talking about if they can be, you know, win three or four games this year in the SEC with that Texas victory. You know, you might get to the end of the year and they're a 7-5 team or an 8-4 team, and they're 16-17, you know, something like that. So, yeah, I think they can, and they're so much better than they've been. And I think the national perception has changed for Arkansas football.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Give them a call, 479-231-3827. Or find them online, gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo-pee!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
One of the things that I believe is really we can see tomorrow that I think that will be important is these are the type games that you rely on defense and kicking game. And get the short field, you get some turnovers, and that's how you abuse these type teams. And that's where Arkansas has been so weak. And I'm going to go back to, you know, Willie Robinson's defenses were decent because they had a pass rush with Jake Beckett and some others. And we might see that Arkansas's defense can control a game. And that wasn't the case. That was the problem with so many of those non-conference games that were so ugly late in the Bielema time, you know, Coastal Carolina, you couldn't stop anybody. And I think that the depth and the strength of this team is the defensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary. And, you know, I think we'll see this tomorrow. If we don't, if they slip back and you see them give up, you know, 260 yards rushing in the option, and you might have to rethink that. But I think this defense has really grown because of the depth and the way they can rotate players.
I think that's a really good point, too. I was just looking at some Pro Football Focus numbers this morning, and Arkansas has got five guys on the defensive line who have what you would call a pretty decent pass rush grade. And a lot of it's just you know, what we've seen through 2 weeks, or at least last week anyway, was just Arkansas's D-line just really getting after it, knocking the quarterback off the spot, and just, you know, making offenses run that scramble drill to an extent. You know, Ridgeway, I mean, Texas was best opponent he's played in his career. You know, before that, it was probably one of maybe North Dakota State, and Ridgeway graded out at 87.4 in pass rush. I mean, that's really good. Nichols is right behind him at 86, Torian Carter at 79, Eric Gregory 69, and then Trey Williams at 73.9. So you've got some dudes on your defensive line, and that just makes a world of difference. And that depth up front, that's really nice to have. And then you feel, I mean, I don't feel like there are any concerns outside of targeting with that linebackers group. And then the secondary has been pretty sound to this point in the year outside of the deep ball that Ladarius Bishop gave up in week one. So you're feeling real good about your defense. And, you know, you can, if you get a couple real quick three and outs tomorrow early in the game, get Georgia Southern off the field, that can possibly be demoralizing to them.
All right, prediction time. We'll talk about some SEC games this week. But first, Clay, one that is very interesting to me, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Norman. It's not Tom Osborne and Barry Switzer, but it's still really neat to see these two teams get together. You know, I can think back to when I was younger, two of the games that stand out the most to me were that 2000 game in Norman and the 01 game in Lincoln. It kind of, you know, the last great time that this was a big rivalry. What do you think is going to happen this week in Norman?
Yeah, I think this is a tough time for Nebraska, and, you know, they've already started with problems. And I don't know if Scott Frost is on the hot seat, but he definitely is under pressure. And this is a game that they will probably have circled that is, you know, I'm not saying it's the last hurrah, but it is an important game for Scott Frost, because I think Oklahoma has the firepower offensively to really score some points. And this series has been great. And for many years, I covered the Nebraska Oklahoma games, and boy, I saw some, you know, top 10 matchups, and it's kind of hard to fathom how far Nebraska has fallen. And their recruiting has been okay of late, but their performance at quarterback has just been substandard. And that's where this game really takes a lopsided look, in that they make so many turnovers from the quarterback position, and Oklahoma's defense is better. So yeah, I like Oklahoma to win big in this game.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't really think it's going to be that close of a game at all. I think Clay nailed it. I mean, Oklahoma's just got unbelievable firepower, and Spencer Rattler is one of my favorite guys to watch. He can make things happen with his feet. Got a pretty electric arm too. And I just think this is probably going to be a runaway, if I had to guess. It, you know, just make people miss kind of the glory days of the, you know, this rivalry. I know the teams are wearing a game of the century 50-year stickers on the back of their helmet. I figured Nebraska is probably going to see a lot of that on the back of Oklahoma's helmets. I just don't know what the deal is with Scott Frost in Nebraska. He's had an alarming number of transfers out, and he's like in his fourth year, I think, and you just can't really tell much about, you know, what the identity of that program is. I just don't think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, I got to tell this story. You guys like, let me tell stories. And I was covered in one of those great shootouts in Lincoln where I think Nebraska was number one and Oklahoma was about six or seven, and Nebraska was a big favorite, and their team captain, Scott Hill, who later coached at Oklahoma, gave the pregame prayer in the Oklahoma locker room, and he says, "Dear Lord, please don't let the best team win." So that may be saying that in a Nebraska pregame, the prayer, don't let the best team win.
Speaking of pregame speeches, did you see Sam Pittman's pregame speech to his team?
I did. It's pretty good.
Pretty good stuff.
Lock the gates. They don't have us. We got them.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw somebody post. It's like, point me in the direction of the nearest brick wall after hearing Sam Pittman talk about that. Talking about old rivalries, you know, one that I've always thought was really good, that I think maybe flies below the radar a little bit in the SEC is Georgia, South Carolina. They play this week. Georgia's kind of an interesting team because, you know, they're having some quarterback issues again. Their offense hasn't looked very good. I know they played Clemson. That'll make, you know, any offense look pedestrian. What are your thoughts about this game?
Yeah, I think the Georgia defense has got too much team speed. I think they'll physically whip up on South Carolina. They're still the Beamer era is still just kind of getting started. They can't be to the point where they can legitimately push Georgia around. Too many teams in red, Matt.
I'm in the same boat too. Georgia's defense is super overwhelming, but you could probably say that, you know, a couple of years ago, I think South Carolina went to Georgia 2 years ago and won, because I remember watching that game because me and Dudley traveled to Lexington for Arkansas, Kentucky a couple of years ago. And that Georgia, South Carolina game was one of those games on ESPN that I remember. So it's possible that Georgia just, you know, possibly plays down to its competition, but I just think this is a different Georgia team. And after seeing South Carolina beat East Carolina by a field goal last week, you know, I just can't pick South Carolina. I think Georgia's just too good.
Alabama's at Florida. It's a top 11 matchup, but I don't think anybody really expects it to be a close game. Alabama's a 15-point road favorite. Clay, does Florida have any chance of hanging with the Tide?
Well, you know, we haven't seen an off performance by Bryce Young yet, and I think that's what it would take. And I think, you know, Florida has enough talent to cause some problems, you know, especially offensively. They lost a lot on that defense, and, you know, I don't think they've rebuilt it yet. But I can remember watching last year at Florida how many good athletes that they had on their second and third team, because a lot of those guys played in fourth quarter against Arkansas. And the athleticism of that Florida team is really incredible. But this would have to be one of those games in the swamp when the, you know, oppressive heat and humidity and things just get out of hand as far as hydration. And I mean, I can see it being a sloppy game because of that. But it's, I mean, form? No, if form holds, Alabama wins by 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Matt, what did you say the line was?
Alabama by 15.
Yeah, one thing I've learned, I got into betting on some games when I was in college, and I bet against Alabama, I think, 2 weeks in a row once and lost both times. So I've learned my lesson. I don't go against Alabama against the spread. The only thing that, you know, that could possibly tilt even the line in Florida's favor is Bryce Young's going into his first hostile environment. And Florida is a pretty tough place to get kind of welcomed into the SEC environments, but I think he'll handle it. He's got enough weapons. He's a freshman, but he doesn't play like one. And Bama's just got too many weapons, and their defense will be fine.
You know, there's some interesting dynamics with this game. You would have never thought this 5-7 years ago, but there are people that do not like Dan Mullen that want Nick Saban to run it up against Dan Mullen, which is a really interesting dynamic. That as much success as Alabama's had, that they would be have SEC teams pulling for him this game, because Dan Mullen is not well liked now. So that will be interesting in the fourth quarter if they do have a chance to score a couple of touchdowns, because I think if you remember against Arkansas, did they call a halfback pass or something in the fourth quarter? That was, you know, why would you do that when you've got that kind of a lead? But I guess Dan, he was trying to score some points last year, get his guy the Heisman, and they kind of abused some weak teams with the games that they didn't need to.
They needed to impress some voters too.
Yeah,
Dan Mullen 0-10 all time against Nick Saban. The game day game this week, Auburn at Penn State. Auburn, they've won by 50 and 62 in their first two games against Akron and Alabama State. It'll be a much different environment in Happy Valley. Clay, your thoughts on this one? Penn State's already got the big win already over Wisconsin this year.
Seems like James Franklin gets excited to play these SEC teams. When he played them at Vanderbilt and he had the, you know, he had a decent team at the end, but it, you know, he was always playing with lesser talent. And I think this is a game that he really is looking forward to. So yeah, I think Penn State.
I really like Tank Bigsby, the Auburn tailback. I think he's one of the best backs in the country, but Penn State already, like Matt said, they've already got a win against Wisconsin, and it was at Wisconsin. It was in Camp Randall. That's a really tough place to play and win, and that was a really low-scoring game. Their defense was pretty impressive, and I think Penn State's playing a whiteout for this week, so I'm going to go with Penn State. I just don't – you know, I don't think Bo Nix is going to be able to, you know, create enough magic to win that game.
He's been at Penn State. Franklin is 0-2 against SEC teams. They've lost bowl games against Georgia and against Kentucky, but both games were close. This will be the first time he's got an SEC team coming into Happy Valley. First time I think an SEC team has gone up there since Alabama, somewhere around 2009, 2010. All right, we'll finish it off with Arkansas, Georgia Southern. We all think Arkansas is going to win. The question is by how much. Arkansas is a 23.5 point favorite in this game. Clay, how do you think it's going to play out?
Well, I've gone back and forth this week. There was a time when I thought Arkansas would cover easily, but as I've studied Georgia Southern more, I just think that Arkansas is going to win, but it might not be by they've got to win by 24 because the line's 23.5. So I tend to go with Georgia. So am I right that Sam Pittman has covered every game that he's played at Arkansas?
I'm not sure. He's covered more games than a lot of people expected. I'm not exactly sure what his against the spread record is, but it's got to be pretty good.
Cover after the Catalan interception against Rice. It didn't look like he was going to cover that game, but they did. And of course, they were underdog last week. I think he was they covered a lot of games last year of the, you know, that 10 game SEC schedule. So you might say, well, why would you go against them this game? I just think that it's the letdown from the Texas is going to be significant, but Arkansas will still win.
Yeah, I think in the magazine I predicted Arkansas 45-10, which seems, you know, maybe a little bit ambitious, but one way that you keep that triple option offense off the field is you stick to the run game yourself and you go for 333 and four scores against a, you know, much more talented defense last week. I think Arkansas is just going to try to sit on Georgia Southern and lean on those running backs again. And wouldn't surprise me if, you know, one, two of those guys end up with 100 plus yards rushing. One of them very well could be KJ Jefferson. And then, you know, if everything goes well, you probably see Malik Hornsby, you know, get some extended time, maybe late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter.
One thing to remember about Georgia Southern, last year they averaged 31.6 seconds in between snaps. It was the slowest pace of play in college football. That can be, you know, that can be a detriment to a team potentially covering the spread just because they don't get a whole lot of opportunities. Clay talked earlier in the show about triple option teams and some of the fits that they've given teams in the past. I think about the OU Army game 3 years ago in Norman, where Army had two second half possessions that were in excess of 10 minutes. And so there just weren't a lot of opportunities for OU to possess the ball and score. Arkansas and Georgia Southern, it's 3:00 SEC Network. We're going to have plenty of coverage leading up to and after the game at wholehogsports.com. Hope you'll go there. Check out Clay Henry's top 10 keys to this game. We'll be back with another podcast early next week to review the game. And then later next week, we'll have a podcast looking forward to what should be one of the big games in college football the following week, Arkansas and Texas A&M in Arlington.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.